Hello, welcome to Why Not Me? In life, we face many trials and obstacles, many challenges, and in the thick of it, we can be tempted to think, why me? But every obstacle presents an opportunity, and every trial can bring triumph. So I want to encourage you to adapt a mindset of, why not me? When in the middle of it, when things are tough, look around and think, why not me? It's happening for a purpose. And then, when success is at your doorstep, and all you have to do is open it, you may find yourself hesitating, questioning, is this for me? Do I deserve this? And I want to encourage you to adapt a mindset of, why not me? Throw the door open wide, shout to the world, why not me? Embrace your success. I'm your coach, Todd Halls. I'm grateful to have you on this journey. Welcome to Why Not Me.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Why Not Me, turning trials into triumphs, seeking and embracing success. I'm your host, Coach Todd Halls. Grateful to be here as always. Listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. I am very, very grateful for you. Also great for our sponsor today. Today is brought to you by Ardor Boutique. You can support us by supporting them. Simply go to www.ardorshop.com. That's ARDORSHOP.com. And now, I'm super excited to introduce you to our guest. The gentleman we have with us today, Ryan Groth, is a business owner and a founder. He's an entrepreneur, a CEO, and founder of the Sales Transformation Group, which we'll hear more about, I trust. He's a former outfielder for the LA Angels. And to top all that, he's a husband and a dad to 5 children with that, and probably so much more. So, Ryan, welcome so much to the show.
Thanks, Todd. Glad to be hanging out with you today.
Cool. So let's start with where are you located?
I'm in Hawaii right now, Maui, Hawaii.
And is that, you say right now, are you visiting Hawaii or do you have residence there?
We have residence here. We moved here during the pandemic, which was an amazing time to come. The beaches were empty and there was nobody here. So we came and pivoted a bit of our business and just decided this is the place where we're going to raise our children. And we love it. So we love it. We did break away for some time in Texas and built up kind of our corporate location there and establish our kind of central hub. But this is home and it's a whole lot of fun. We love being here.
Awesome. So you mentioned pivoting the business during COVID. So I'm going to do some deductive reasoning and know that you were in business prior to COVID. So how long have you been in business? When did this start?
I started this company in 2018. So we're at this point, just 6 years in, just over 6 years.
Awesome. Well, you crossed the 1 year threshold. Congratulations. But then even fewer get up past that 5 year threshold. So awesome. Good for you. And tell us a little bit about, well, you said this business, so real quick, how many businesses have you started or do you, or yeah, like what's that been like?
This is my first like business that I, as an owner started, that's more of a meaningful established business. Prior to that, I was hired and was really mentored in this industry, and the things I'm teaching now was birthed out of working with a CRM company that a roofing contractor started. So he basically started a tool, built a sales tool to help manage and create visibility and transparency with the sales team, have just increased accountability and reports and analytics and insights. So I was hired to take that product to market. And during my experience selling into the market, I saw that there was just a lack of sales competency and leadership and training and process, that there was a lack of really, if any contractor does have a sales team, that means they're already like thinking beyond, you know, being a one-man show and doing a lot of wearing a lot of hats. So if they're at that level, then they need to build that department out in a way that's going to support their success. I saw a need as I was implementing the CRM to other contractors who we decided to focus on after I started. I saw that they needed more than just the tool. They needed coaching and motivating, inspiring leadership, accountability, training, processes that really affect the people part of their business. And so I saw that there was a need there. And so after 4.5 years with, you know, being in that at the front, the face of that company and selling and building the business and running it like my own. I jumped and we left on wonderful terms, and I started this company really, because I saw that the industry needed to transform into a sales organization. But not only that, it would allow me to create a transformational opportunity on a personal level and in their culture, specifically around just ensuring that people are, you know, selling and working with integrity, and there's a culture that's sustainable, and they can build a real company, and salespeople can hang their hat saying, "Hey, I'm a roofing salesperson," and they feel great about it. You know, they can have a house and a mortgage and a career. And I just see that this industry has a lot of opportunity to mature into that with some good training and coaching. And that's really where I saw the chance to start this business. And that's what we've been doing.
Cool. That's awesome. I love your heart for the people and the culture. And if we had more time to get into my backstory, it's why I do what I do. With the companies I work with, because the people are the magic. So 4.5 years with your company, and then you decide, I see a need, I'm going to jump and do this on my own. Let's talk through that a little bit for anybody that's listening that may be in a similar situation where they've got this idea, there's something they want to try. Was there fear? Was there confidence? Was there what were you feeling and thinking as you started to go into that transition?
Yeah, I think fear for me was like the relationships that I built. Like I didn't want to burn any bridges, you know, and the opportunity that I had to be where I was very, was not necessarily the easiest route, but it was the best for me. I got to be exposed to so much. So my exit, I really wanted to make sure that when I exited, it was exited with honor and integrity and good relationship. So I think that happened well. So I think that it was done. but then I also was like, hey, if I'm going to do this, I better start making some calls, because I don't want to be without income. So being that I was a sales focused president, and I sold and I taught people how to sell, thankfully that skill was great. I picked up the phone and got a few accounts on retainer, and you know, pretty quickly, not just replaced, but like tripled my income. And that was like pretty exciting. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And I was like, I told my wife, hey, you know, you don't have to work if you don't want to work. Like maybe you should stay home and be a mom. And that's what she's done ever since. And so I've, been grateful to be able to just see the business grow and just evolve over the years. And as the money came in, that was more than what we had ever had at the time. It was pretty powerful and it was cool. And I was like, I didn't want to have credit cards and I wanted everything to be on debit. And I didn't understand like lines of credit and employees. And, and as I grew into moving from 1099 to W-2, and how do I make this scalable, and how do I have a financial model? Like there, all these things just over time I've learned. But the good news is I was very good at selling and teaching people how to sell. So, I leaned on that, and although nothing was perfect operationally, I definitely didn't run out of business, because we knew how to keep the sales machine on. And that's something that, we're pretty big on teaching our customers, is that sales will cure all ails. And, you know, as long as you keep the oxygen flowing, you know, you're going to make it, even if things aren't working exactly the way you want them to yet. Got to keep selling, keep the pipeline full, because in contracting, you're always working yourself out of a job. As soon as you land one, you're working yourself out of a job. You got to fill the backlog up, and that takes sales. And then filling up the pipeline to improve the quality of the backlog is a whole nother thing, because you can just low bid your way into jobs to landing work, but then your backlog is low margin, it's high stress. Well, if you're selling well, you could fill their pipeline up with quality clients and quality jobs with good margin, where you want to be long term. And that's really where I saw the opportunity, is to help people go to market in a way that created a thriving business with enough margin to invest in the people and the marketing and the technology and things like that.
Cool. What comes to mind as you're sharing that is, you know, especially in the contracting world, you can go that low bid option all the time. You become a commodity, and you're just always trying to get a little bit cheaper. And that typically doesn't lead to good things, versus as you're describing, I'm thinking of the relationship building where you You know, if you're, well, if you're a contractor working with owners or developers, or you're a subcontractor working with a contractor, you're building up this relationship over time where, it's about the value you provide, not just whatever that product is.
For sure. Yeah.
Cool. So I'd imagine some of my background is in construction. And so I've been in that space quite a bit. And one of my thoughts about this is the owner, the founder, is typically starts out as the rainmaker, right? The sales always flow through him. And you're talking about a pretty significant paradigm shift for most, even medium, but for sure small contractors, right? To start thinking, okay, I'm going to hire a salesperson to do this. At least that's what it would seem like to me. Tell me what you experience. Is there pushback from owners? Like how does that work, that nurturing process go?
Yeah. So that owner first has to realize, like, if I don't change, nothing changes, then I'm going to be doing this forever. And they may say, I like talking to customers. I like, yes, you do. You're good at it, but you're always, you're going to be limited to your own ability. And you know, at some point you're going to want to build a business, not just have a kind of a high paying job. You would love to, if you had to take a vacation, or if you had to take care of an ailing parent or something happens, like you would be forced to change, but why not build it up now? Like, why not build up the company? And, I love the money I'm making. Well, okay. Well, what about the time that you don't have anymore? So you just think about all those things. So where I would go is owners need to realize that no one's going to sell quite like you. You're the owner. Okay. But if they could sell 70% as good as you, even 60, even 50, they can become 70. Your time is now thinking, wow, how can I work on the business, network, get ideas, manage the financials better. There's just so much more that you can do and you have more time. I could spend time with my kids and not be worrying about the lead I got to go run to. Like it's okay to have a business that works without you having to touch it every second. And that's really the beauty of an entrepreneur and the skill of a business owner to build that. It's a skill and it takes trust. So what I would do is like where we come in is, you know, you need a sales process. You need the sales training. You need some sort of a sales accountability and way to measure and hold that team accountable to something, that person. Because I could tell you that if you want a high performer to come into your company, they're gonna expect, especially if you want to retain like professional people, which you can get, they're gonna expect to be measured. They're gonna expect to be coached, to be led, to be developed. If you're like, hey, you should be lucky to work with me, I'll do a ride along with you, and you should be glad that I'm, you know, allowing you to sell for me, that arrogance is going to be your demise. You're going to fall on your face and you're going to end up losing people and you're going to be back doing the same thing. And it's just not good. So sales process, sales plan, sales tracking and accountability, ongoing sales coaching and mentorship, that's something that you can hire other people to do. Yes, it costs more money, but what are you going to do? I can tell you right now that if you spent a year not selling and you still made the same amount of volume, but didn't have to do the selling, you would be like, that's an improvement. It's an improvement. Hmm. Yeah, it is. Cause you're not having to do it. Like how beautiful is it as an entrepreneur to not have to do it? I personally do that myself. I have a sales training company and I have salespeople that do it. My mind is now free to be the entrepreneur, the visionary, to take the business to the next level. If I'm worrying about being on the next call, closing the next deal, my brain doesn't have the capacity or the bandwidth to execute on these ideas. And then I'm stuck where I'm daydreaming about the business, but I can't do anything about it. I can't take it anywhere because I'm having to do the thing that I could hire. And most of the time that's sales. So it's a short-term, you know, learning curve. It's a short-term expense. It's a short-term cost, but long-term, you know, you're going to have so much more to be grateful for by having the sales team that's trained, that's accountable, that's doing a great job, that's bringing in the cash, and you're mentoring people and they're having success, and therefore you are too. So
cool. Good. Yeah. in your journey, mm-hmm. like where did you learn this? Because I don't know that it's natural to want to do this. So what did you read? What was your mentor like? How did this come about?
Yeah. So, I was kind of came before as an athlete. Like I came from a bit of a poorer family background, some struggles, single parents, divorce, stuff like that. So there were some struggles there that, as I started to see, other families or maybe see a potential of being a professional baseball player, my mind started to envision a better reality. And I was pretty motivated to get out of the current reality and ensure that a better reality happens. So, the drive, started to bubble up early, maybe in my teen years. And then it really took shape. And so that drive was there, and I didn't, play a long career and didn't make millions of dollars. So when the career kind of ended, I was like, well, I got to reinvent myself. And who am I? What's next? And as I started to network and build relationship, I got connected to some entrepreneurs, and some of them have had a lot of success. And, I might have chased the money a little bit too much, but I got into it and I was like, I want to make money. Like, I don't want to struggle financially. I want to make money. Like, I want to make real money for my family. And I just grew up not having any, and kind of one of those classic stories. So as I started to explore, and see in proximity that if these people can do it, and I'm like, oh, wow, I think I can do it too. Cause being a collegiate professional baseball player, like, it's hard. Like, so to have had history of doing a hard thing, and then I realized that this isn't that bad. Like, this isn't that hard. So I think that there's some natural, God-given ability. But then when I was in proximity to entrepreneurs and then proximity to sales-oriented entrepreneurs, I just started to learn by osmosis, by just being near them. And then the mentorship happened that pretty organically. And then I was pretty hungry for it. So that 4.5 years of working with a large contractor, he gave me 30% of his time. I mean, we talked on the way home almost every day. You drive home and he would call me, check in, how's my day, have my calls in, he'd ask me if I sold anything. He'd always ask me, did you sell anything? If I talked about anything else but sales, he'd be like, all right, well, did you sell anything? So he just kept the focus on that. And I enjoyed that kind of pressure because he applied good pressure. But he also, you could tell, he enjoyed just the fact that I was a young entrepreneurial person that was just cutting my teeth and getting kicked in the face and getting back up. So I think it was fun for him to see me work so hard and to grow. And so I think that helped our relationship and him invest more. So, and then he had outside sales training that he had invested in that I ended up kind of replacing for their company. Hmm. And so I got to be professionally trained by like an old school sales trainer. So I got to experience like being educated in a sales training atmosphere, which kind of opened up my eyes. Be like, oh, wow, this is something that in contracting, there isn't a way that this is happening at a standard that is available. You have to kind of go outside to multi-industry type of trainings, and which is what we had. Good stuff. But I'm like, man, this industry I'm selling into doesn't have this. I started to kind of fiddle with it and beta test it and proved that it was good. So
that's awesome. So one might think, well, man, you got lucky and just to fall into that job with that particular contractor. But what you started right before that, you talked about kind of getting in with a group of entrepreneurs, and they were, I guess all this is going, it's the value of who's in your room. It would seem has served you well. You got in with some people that were doing things, had a positive outlook, were growth minded. And I don't know if that was a direct connection to the contractor you ended up working with or not, but it just seems that you become like who you're around, and you attract who you are, and you ended up in a really good place.
Yeah, like I started that first relationship I met in our church. So like, my wife and I were getting married. We were like, excited about our future. And then we're surrounding ourselves with good people, one of which happened to be entrepreneurial. That relationship turned into an introduction to somebody who knows many faith-oriented business owners in that region. And then the person who mentored me was happened to be one of those people who was hiring for this role at the software company. So it was, I think networking, favor, just, you know, I think that, I think though that deep down though, there was a belief that my future was bright and that I, my destiny is going to be good. So like, I was relatively proactive around ensuring that the people I'm hanging out with are supporting that outcome. Although at the time I was driving a shuttle bus and doing baseball lessons and trying to figure out what am I going to do with my life, you know? So.
Yep. You mentioned a little bit ago that when you were growing up, you started to envision, you used the word envision, a career in baseball. Mm-hmm. And so that reminded me of books like Think and Grow Rich or Psycho-Cybernetics by Maxwell Maltz and the, you know, this idea of picturing your future. Do you continue to envision what you want to happen or has that continued to serve you?
I think that like I'm certainly a visionary. I think I don't think everybody has that. I think some people are really bad at coming up with ideas, but really good at executing an idea. I think that, you know, everyone's made differently. We have different skills. I just happen to be an idea guy that can come up with ideas, but I've learned to manage that because I also think that you can lose focus. But if you don't let it fly and let that visionary, you know, you're missing out on opportunity because I'm looking around my room and there's not people on my leadership team that are just bubbling with incredible ideas either. They're just executing on a good idea. So I think that's the responsibility of the entrepreneur to be the visionary. I envision a future. I envision a future for my family, for the industry, for, you know, my business. And I think that keeps a fresh, I think it keeps the attention of people you're leading. I think it keeps people focused. I do think though that, got to be careful not to attach promises to vision too much or to guarantee. I think you just got to envision, a future and, kind of like a Dr. Martin Luther King, I have a dream. That kind of spirit to say, hey, I have a dream or I have an idea. I have a vision. I can envision and see this, a world in which, right. And I, you know, I don't know, maybe it's circumstantial of why I kind of created that skill, but I very much lean into that, get people excited, keep people engaged, motivated to step forward. So
how often do you, so I'm assuming based on that, that you've got a vision for the company. How often do you share that with your team? How often does everybody on the team in the organization hear what the vision is?
We have monthly meetings. We meet remotely and then we try to meet every other week, like a second meeting during the month as a team. I have learned though that being a visionary and not having your leadership support that first, not that they didn't, but like if you're telling a vision for the first time, that's very, it's very directional. Like, hey, we're doing this. It'll shake the boat pretty bad and it'll break trust because then you're kind of like overreaching around your leaders and they're not actually communicating, you know, what you're saying. And now they're having to change everything. And I've learned that you can't drive a towboat or a little bass boat the same way you drive a bigger boat, a yacht or whatever. You got to drive it with a little bit more unity around your leaders. So I've learned to not just overwhelm my leaders with vision and then have a calculated vision, make sure it pressure tests with them. And then we're like, yeah, this is good. Then we release that vision to the team. And then if the team's like, yeah, we're in, and then now they're unified, now we're strong. Now I can take it to public. I could take it to the, you know, to the world around us. I also have an advisory board too that, I'm growing a lot in how to learn to leverage and manage. I think at times it's changed, but those advisors also, are people that I can weigh ideas off of that are brilliant people. So.
Very cool. That's probably, I'd imagine as that, if it's not already, it's going to become invaluable as a sounding board, a growth tool. A system of checks and balances for you.
Yeah.
What are you reading right now or listening to? If you're a consumer of information, what's your best recommendation for a book or podcast?
I'm bad in this area. I'm not consuming a lot of business content at the moment. Actually, take that back. Epic Marketing, I'm doing that. It's a content marketing strategy. So Epic Marketing, jumped into that one. I'm currently spending a lot of time on consuming like more spiritual things like the Bible. A ton of time with like teachings and certain like, you know, communicators of the word. The reason why is that like we're in Hawaii, we're also pretty engaged in our local body here at church. And so I just, as we're maturing as a family, part of that is like a responsibility of people and leadership and shepherding. And I feel like, I'm just in a journey where we're kind of learning how to step into more of that. And I think that that's something I've neglected. I've been heavy on the business, light, you know, kind of Sunday morning once, you know, kind of stuff, but not like a super active, thriving, growing spiritual person. So I don't want to dominate this call with that, but that's a big part of what I'm spending my time right now. A ton of my extra time goes into that. Because business is good. And, you know, this is an area of focus for me right now.
Super cool. What comes to mind is, maybe not specifically to content marketing like Epic Marketing, but as far as leadership and stewardship and actual running the business and leading your family, all the answers happen to be in that book. Everything you need is in the Bible.
Yep. That's right. 100%. There's Proverbs are great. And just meeting the one who inspired the book and having a relationship with that, with him is what makes this happen. So, yep.
I love that. That's perfect. And with that, let's land the plane. Final couple of questions, Ryan. First is just for anybody that wants to talk to you about sales, talk to you about faith or spirituality, whatever it is, what's the best way to find you? How do we reach you?
Yeah, so Facebook, I don't manage the friends very well. It's kind of maxed out. So I would just, you can follow me or DM me, but on Instagram, my business page is called The Sales Athlete. So if you look up The Sales Athlete, you can find me. I'm very active on that. LinkedIn, just look up Ryan Groth. You'll see my face there in a sales transformation group. So you can look me up there on LinkedIn. That's basically it. My wife and I share a family page, but you know, you can find out that if you direct message me, we share some stuff there to friends, but yeah, that's basically it.
Okay. Well, super cool. Appreciate you being here. Hey, what's one important or impactful question you would leave with our listeners?
Okay. If you knew that your business, that you are going to be gone in 6 months, what would you do right now to set up the family to succeed after you leave with the business? So what would you have to do right now if in 6 months you were out, peace, gone? What would you do? You know, would you put all your knowledge in a document? Would you train some people? What would you do? And I think that when you answer that question and take action, that actually makes a big difference in your life.
Awesome. Love the question. Very much. A lot of us do need to be thinking about that very thing. Yeah. Ryan, thank you so much. I wish you all the best and continued success for you and your family. I really, really appreciate you being on and would love to have you. So now that we've unpacked the faith a little bit, would love to have you back on sometime and just go deeper on probably all of this. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks, Todd. Appreciate you.
You bet. Listeners, thank you for tuning in. Once again, today is being sponsored by Ardor Boutique. You can find them at www.ardorshop.com. Please support them to support us. I'm going to leave you with this. Whatever grand vision you've been given, whatever dream God has put on your heart, remember, you can. Until next time, be bold, be humble, stay healthy, stay hopeful, Live life strong. Peace to you.
Well, thank you so much for listening. For even more on turning trials into triumphs and seeking and embracing success, go to toddhalls.life. That's toddhalls.life. And I look forward to serving you. Until next time, be strong, be bold, be humble, stay healthy, stay hopeful. Peace to you.